Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents My Bad by Lonnie Lynn Vale. Narrated by Aiden Snow and Kendall Taylor. Chapter 1. Don't judge someone just because they sin differently than you do. Life lesson. Hoax. Either my dick was broken or I was about to die. Those were the only two possible explanations. I wasn't actually 100% sure why I had decided to come to the hospital for my current predicament, but something had to give. Something in the form of my erection, or my lack thereof. I'd been lying in bed for hours tonight trying to think about something that would make my dick get hard, but nothing worked. Not my usual buxom brunette with tits so big that they slapped her in the face when I fucked her hard, nor the small Asian chick that had nipples so tight that I wanted nothing more than to suck them into my mouth and hold on tight with my teeth while I went to town. Hell, even my oldest daydream, the one of Mrs. Oliver from ninth grade science class, didn't even do the trick anymore. And I'd been using that particular one for years. Before I could think, I'd gotten on my bike and ridden to the hospital. Then, before I could get embarrassed that I, a 32-year-old man who was in the prime of his life, couldn't get it up, I marched straight into the ER, emergency room, and stopped. I shouldn't be there. Technically, I wasn't actually experiencing an emergency. I'd never hear the end of it either. Not from my family and not from my friends. It was probably best that nobody saw me. Though technically, the one single nurse that I knew that worked in the ER, Conley, had assured me that what happened in the ER stayed in the ER. And not because they had some weird pact kinda like Fight Club where you didn't talk about your patients. No, because there were laws that required them not to. Which I supposed wasn't really going to keep them from talking about me. It just meant they couldn't talk about me to other people. Not amongst themselves. Honestly, I was about to turn around and leave when I saw her. She wasn't very tall, a little over 5'3" or 5'4". She was a good foot shorter than me. She was wearing navy blue scrubs that fit her body like a glove. Since when did hospital scrubs become so fitted? But god damn, the scrubs she was wearing hugged her supple ass, belly, and thighs. And those tits, yeah, they would fit perfectly in the palm of my hand. She took my breath away. Oh, and made my dick hard. She'd cured me, and what better way to thank her than to give her a very thorough thank you present, one that involved my tongue, cock, and fingers.
Chapter 2. This message is invisible. Only people that masturbate can see it. Prue. I scratched my head and nearly groaned when I found the pen that I'd been searching in every drawer and counter for the last 3.5 minutes. 3.5 minutes that I should have been using to pee and shove some food in my mouth instead of looking for a pen. But it was a special pen. I'd gotten it from a patient 2 weeks ago that had been all of 6 years old and informed me that the pen was special and boys liked it. Pulling it out, I stared at the mermaid pen with its glittery, shiny gold, teal, and purple scales and felt myself smiling. Anyway, I sighed, tucking the pen into the palm of my hand and curling my fingers around it. If you want to go ahead and take that potty break, go ahead. I'll wait here and take over until you get back. The paramedic that ran the triage desk looked at me with gratefulness. Thanks, Prue. You're the best. Then, before either one of us could argue, or I could rescind my offer, she bolted for the break room. I, on the other hand, bounced on the balls of my feet as I tried to think about anything but the fullness of my bladder. A throat cleared behind me, and I turned, coming face to face with a broad chest. I blinked and stepped back.
Is this where I would need to go to get seen?
A deep, rough voice belonging to that chest rumbled. I took another step back, completely forgetting about my full bladder, and stared at the chest in surprise before allowing my eyes to travel up.
Ma'am?
I didn't respond to his words. Instead, I took every delicious inch of the man in, starting with his chest, which was covered with a black Van Halen t-shirt. I moved my way up to the breadth of his shoulders, very wide shoulders that looked like they could support a lot of weight, possibly my ankles, for hours. Then I moved from those beautiful shoulders to his strong, muscular neck. I stopped at the bearded jaw, a bearded square jaw that screamed for me to run my fingers over it. I wasn't sure if it was the beard or the jaw that got me, probably both. I'd always been a beard whore, but shit, this man's beard? It was amazing. Trim and tight against that perfect jaw that probably made women clench just seeing those angles. And oh God, those lips.
Ma'am?
I finally looked past the man's mouth to his nose and felt a twinge of amusement when I saw the crookedness of it. It had been broken many times before, based on the angle. A sigh fell from his lips, momentarily bringing my attention back to their perfectness, and I blinked before finally meeting the man's eyes. They were a steely gray blue that made me think of Travis Fimmel's eyes from the TV show The Vikings, but only when he was actually on the TV show and dirty. His eyes, Travis's, not the man standing in front of me, always seemed to go a wintry gray the dirtier he got. I swallowed and said, I'm sorry, what did you ask me? He didn't smile, didn't even crack one. Instead, he stared at me steadily and repeated,
Are you who I need to speak with if I'm here to be seen?
I tried to shake my thoughts into some semblance of coherency, but I couldn't quite make it work. Why, you ask? Because he'd lifted his arm and leaned one strong hand against the doorframe. And I saw his muscular, defined bicep slip free of the too taut fabric of his t-shirt, a defined bicep that had a tattoo running along the inner, sensitive flesh from armpit to elbow. A sword. That was it, a broadsword, or at least the hilt of one. It was beautiful work and exceptionally done. The scroll work alone was mesmerizing, and realizing what I was looking at, he dropped his arm, causing me to momentarily get myself back under control. What symptoms are you exhibiting? I finally forced myself to ask. He didn't look like he was having any problems. In fact, other than the cast that was clearly beaten up and in need of either another redo or taking it off completely, I couldn't see anything wrong.
It's something that I'm not exhibiting. Or at least I wasn't.
He paused.
I'm not really sure that I need you any longer.
I blinked, unsure where to go with what he just told me. I hesitated. The symptoms disappeared when you came inside, so they're intermittent? The man snorted, drawing my attention to his Adam's apple.
It was a constant thing for about 6 weeks until I literally just walked in this door and saw you standing there.
He paused.
Do you want to go out on a date with me?
I stared at him with confusion and a little bit of awe. He looked like it was the easiest thing in the world, slipping that last part in there about me going out on a date with him. I'm sorry, I told him. I don't date military men. His eyebrows rose.
How do you know I'm military?
The expression on his face practically dared me to tell him why. So I did. The way you walk, the way your eyes constantly survey your surroundings, the way that you clocked every single exit since you got in here, your unwillingness to let me study your tattoo. Let me guess. Seal? I spouted. His brows rose.
Not a seal. What makes you think I'm not just a cop?
I snorted. I'm sure once you're done doing whatever you're doing in the military, that'll be your next career move. But for now, your demeanor practically screams military. You're rigid.
I would know.
Not only was my father ex-military, but every single man that I called uncle was ex-military as well. My twin sister was military. My cousins and friends were military. There was no way in hell that this man wasn't military. What surprised me the most was that he didn't have any tattoos on him other than the sword. If you were military, you were proud to be military. There were usually tattoos that supported that claim. This man, though, he had no army tattoo on his forearm like my dad or my sister's army tattoo on the inside of her wrist. Just nothing but smooth, tan skin. My eyes studied the man's face a little harder. His beard was much lighter and curlier than his hair. He had straight white teeth and slightly slanted eyes that hinted at some Asian ethnicity way back in his bloodline somewhere. His eyes that were currently watching me take him in with a patient glance. God, those eyes were fucking amazing. They reminded me of the days in the middle of winter when we got our one and only winter storm. The sky was a mottled gray with a small hint of blue around the edges. And goddamn, but those eyelashes of his were so long that any woman would be envious of them. His eyebrows rose, and I noticed that those, too, were slightly white as well. My mouth tipped up at one corner. "I'm sorry, but I don't date patients or military," I told him, replying to his obviously silent question. "I'm sorry."
"Not a patient yet, darling," he said.
I did notice how he hadn't denied being military, though. "Navy?" He made a face. "Air Force?" The face became even worse. "Marines?" He gagged. "Coast Guard?" He snorted loudly. "Army." I saved the best for last. His eyes lit up with amusement. "Army," I said again. "I should have known. You're all the same." They weren't all the same. I was teasing him. But still, he was fun to tease.
"Why don't you date military?" he wondered.
"I'm back," Shannon cried. "Now you go pee too before you... Oh, shit, sorry." My eyes never left the man in front of me. "Can I help you?" Shannon asked with a frown. Shannon was a sweet girl, and she was afraid of men, especially big men like the one currently standing in the doorway, his shoulders practically touching each side.
"No," the man said. "I'm waiting for her."
"Oh, is this the boyfriend you were talking about?" Shannon asked teasingly. I winced. My sister Phoebe, who was a nursing student here, and I had been talking about faking boyfriends so our mother would get off our backs. Shannon had walked in during the middle of the conversation and had misunderstood. I hadn't corrected her, seeing as my mother was the nursing director of the ER, and there was no way in hell I would put Shannon in a position where she would have to lie to my mother and her boss. "How does your mother like him?" Shannon blinked as she continued. "It's funny that she was trying to set you up with that marketing director last week and you had someone like him all along. That could have been an awkward conversation." She paused. "Oh, are you bringing him to the silent auction tomorrow night? You should. I'm bringing my best friend. We could all go out to eat afterward for dinner. You know how the food is at those kinds of things." Did she ever quit talking? "You should take a break while we're slow." I held up my hand.
"You don't ever mention that word in my ER," I told her honestly. "I'll see you in a bit."
With that, I turned to the man who was watching it all with amusement written all over his face and gestured for him to get out of my way with a tilt of my chin. "I have to pee." "Move," I ordered harshly. He moved instantly, but he didn't go away. When I got out of the bathroom and headed back into the main ER, he was sitting outside the locked entrance doors with his arms crossed over his chest. The minute he saw me, his lips perked up.
"You never said yes to that date."
I snorted and walked up next to him, inputting my code and waiting for the doors to open. "No, I sure didn't, did I?" I asked.
"You just inputted that code in front of me, and now I know it,"
he helpfully pointed out. I rolled my eyes. "What do you want me to do?"
"Wait until I left," he said. I shouldn't know the code to get in. I'm a stranger. You barely know me. What if I was some killer and now I know how to get in?
I didn't know I'd done it in front of him, honestly, but something about him struck me as trustworthy.
It's being changed after shift today anyway, I lied. It hadn't been changed in so many years that I doubted anybody even thought about it anymore. Honestly, so many people needed to know the code. Nurses, doctors, paramedics, and technicians. Hell, even the maintenance crew, housekeeping, and the food service needed to know it. Changing it would be a pain in the ass. Luckily, I sensed no ill will from the man. Not to mention, I doubted he'd do a damn thing that would ever bring anyone harm, much like my own father. My father had taught me a lot over my lifetime, and a lot of those things he taught me were life skills that one wouldn't think they'd need. Like people reading. Who would think that they'd need to know how to read someone? Well, I figured out why when I was 14 and saw a young girl around my age try to get me into a car with her because her foot was hurt. I hadn't gone. And a couple days later, that girl had been arrested for taking part in a gang initiation and killing another girl to accomplish her goal. Good. He blew out a relieved breath. Good. That's good.
The fact that he was worried about my well-being made me feel funny. I didn't like that he cared. What's your name? I asked him. I didn't care, of course, but I couldn't keep calling him the man in my head. It was weird.
Hoax, he answered quickly. Hoax Hudson Hicks.
Then he held his hand out to me as if I was asking because I cared.
What's your name? He pushed.
I licked my lips, not wanting to say a word, but my mouth opened on its own accord, and words started to pour out before I could stop them.
Prue Ember McKenzie, I answered.
He took my hand that I'd seemingly held out for him to shake and smiled.
Nice to meet you, Prue.
I felt the edges of my lips turn up in a small smile.
MVA, Prue!
Dwight, the doctor that was working with us tonight, yelled.
Multiple injuries. One is a stick shift through a little girl's chest.
I felt something inside of my gut clench, and then adrenaline started to course through my body. All the while, the man, Hoax, still held my hand. I swallowed but didn't pull away, and he noticed. Eventually, once we could hear the first sounds of sirens, he let me go and said,
Until next time, Prue.
Then he was gone, and I was left more confused than ever. I wanted him to leave. Right? Chapter 3. I just wanted some leggings. Unfortunately, I think I might have joined a cult when I purchased them. Prue's secret thoughts. Prue. I walked into my parents' house and groaned at the smell of the cookies that were baking in the oven. Oh, God, I moaned as I followed the smell. Please tell me you have more than enough for me. My dad, who was sitting on the bar stool next to the counter, grinned at me as I made my way into the kitchen. I walked straight to him and wrapped my arms around his large, muscular chest.
Bad day at work, baby?
He asked me. His chest rumbled with his words, and I closed my eyes as I thought about how awful my day had been. Well, not all of it, just most of it. Mom yelled at me when I told her we needed to change the code to the ER, I mumbled, and that was only the best part. The worst part is that a motor vehicle accident came in, and not one, not two, but three children were unrestrained in the car doing the shittin' driving. The mom was drunk off her ass and hit a parked car. Two kids were ejected. The one that wasn't was only held inside by the stick shift impaling her in the left abdomen. They're all in really bad shape. My dad's arms around me tightened.
Bad day.
Seriously, bad day didn't even begin to cover it.
I made cookies for your mother, but if she's gonna yell at my baby, then maybe you should eat hers, Dad suggested.
I heard that.
My mother, my spitting image, walked through the door off the side of the kitchen that led to their bedroom, and straight to the bottle of Dr. Pepper that was sitting on the counter. She spared me a glare and drank. Once she'd finished, she turned to me. I also didn't yell at her. I explained why we didn't change the code to the ER, which she argued with me in front of the entire ER. It's not my fault that I got pissed. She's supposed to treat me like her boss at work, not her mother. You're both, I argued, and you know it's a good idea. She growled in frustration. I do know it's a good idea. I've brought it up to the freaking hospital board multiple times, yet they still haven't quite figured out how to pull their heads out of their asses. They argued about what the code should be changed to, who should have access to the code, where the code would be stored, and how much money it was going to cost them to change it. At the end of the day, the goddamn code never gets changed. Maybe you should tell old fat bastard that he needs to stop fucking himself with his thumbs and make that hospital safe for y'all, my dad muttered. Jesus, I hate that guy. That guy was actually the board director, Kelly Lowe. And Kelly Lowe wasn't fat. He was actually quite skinny. Well, fit was more the word I was looking for. He definitely wasn't a fat bastard, though my dad liked to call him that because he talked like the guy from Austin Powers and made my dad think of him every single time he opened his mouth. I tended to agree, but this was one argument I definitely wasn't going to get in the middle of. Especially seeing as if we gave him any attention at all, my dad would go off on a tangent. Apparently, when the hospital my mom and I were working for merged with a different hospital a few years before my tenure there, my mother almost lost her job because she was very vocal about the lack of safety in the hospital itself. Then, she'd been a charge nurse, just like me, and hadn't had the reach. But when I took over her job for her, and she moved up to the director of the ER, she slowly started to implement new protocols. Kelly, the douche canoe, didn't like that she was taking initiative. He also didn't like her, my father, or me. Well, I had a feeling he liked me. He'd asked me out once, and I hadn't been able to decide whether it was to piss my parents off or because he truly had feelings for me. Regardless of his motives, I'd said no and had made it a hobby to stay as far away from him as possible. But unfortunately, there were days like today where I had to see him. He felt it was his God-given right to be up in the middle of the ER and doing shit that he had no business doing because he was the head of the board. Apparently, that included inspecting the drug kiosks, making sure we didn't have our phones out, and making sure that anything else wasn't going on that he could scream at us about. Honestly, he was a real dick. Let's have cookies, my mother suggested, seconds before the timer went off. But if you want some, you have to be eating them off your dad's half. I'm going to eat all of my half. I think you gave me a new gray hair today. I snorted and let my father go, walk into the fridge to get the jug of milk out, and then pour in four glasses. Why are you pouring four? My father asked as he walked to the counter next to me. Phoebe's on her way, I said. She had some questions about her homework for class, so I told her to come over here because I wasn't going home. He grunted.
She's still mad at me?
I grinned. From what I hear, yes, he scoffed. She has no reason to be mad. You stole her car and had it crushed, I said, and it had all her stuff inside of it.
It had all her trash and bullshit inside of it. I made sure to take out everything that looked to be of some value. But Jesus Christ, there was so much trash in there, I have no clue how she'd even know, my dad argued.
I had $40 in a small coin purse on the floorboard. Phoebe came rushing in, looking harried, tired, and stressed out. I also had a new pair of tennis shoes in the back seat.
I got those out, he pointed out, along with all your books, plus I gave you another goddamn vehicle. Those people would say thank you.
You gave me a new car that was your style, not mine, she argued, and you know how I hate Fords. Which explained why she wasn't driving said car and was driving my mother's old vehicle that was older than she was. I snickered. You do know how she hates them, I felt it prudent to point out.
Jesus! He threw his arms up in the air.
After your accident, I wanted to make sure I got you the one that helped park itself, as well as give you that all-around lane warning when you drifted or something came too close. It even had adaptive cruise control.
He did have a point. Why did she get a new car and I didn't? I pushed. He looked at me.
I got you a new car.
You got me an old car, I said. Not that I'm complaining or anything. I love it. But still.
Why are y'all such ungrateful little shits?
He countered. My mother, God bless her soul, didn't burst into laughter, but she did chuckle. You made them this way, Sam. What did you expect would happen when you gave them everything under the sun that you never had? A wave of sadness rolled over me at the thought of my dad not having what we had, but the older we got, the more I was able to understand why he didn't have it. When he was young, his mother was married to a man that was undercover in a motorcycle club. A motorcycle club that was the complete opposite of the club that I knew today. Back then, that club was hard. That club was dark. That club was everything that you didn't want to be near. Which was why my grandfather, Silas McKenzie, did everything in his power to make sure that his son wasn't around it. The only problem with doing that, in the process, he'd alienated my father and made him feel like he wasn't worthy. In a hasty attempt to shift the focus of our conversation, since we all knew where it would lead if we let it continue, Phoebe hastily changed the subject. Of course, it was something that I didn't want to talk about, but anything was better than seeing that faraway look on my dad's face.
So, who was that guy that you were talking to today? Phoebe asked. I had to come up and use Mom's computer for patient care reports. The one that was in the old band t-shirt that Dad likes.
Van Halen, my mother drawled, rolling her eyes. Jesus, Phoebe, you make me feel fucking old. I snickered.
You are old, Mom.
She pointed her finger at me. Take that back. I bit my lip as laughter welled inside of me.
Mom, I said teasingly, you're a spring chicken. You're not old. In fact, everyone at the hospital thinks you're hot.
Dad's eyes flared at that, causing my mom to narrow her eyes at me. She knew what I was doing, which was changing the subject. Again. I did not, under any circumstances, want to talk about that man in front of my father.
Why?
Because my father was extremely overprotective. Over the last year or so, some of the free kids had started to find their happily ever afters. Dad had watched from the sidelines as first Janie, our cousin, had met someone. That had been quite hard on him because Janie had been a baby when my parents had met. Dad felt like it was only a matter of time until we started following in their footsteps. Sure, there'd been a boyfriend here and there for the three McKenzie girls, but none of them had been serious, and none of them had the balls to stand up to our father. I had a feeling that Hoax not only had the balls, but he had the desire, too.
What's she talking about? My father asked.
She's making shit up so we don't focus on the fact that she met a man that she liked. My mother turned the tables. Wouldn't you like to know why she's changing the subject, dear heart?
Dad turned his eyes to me, and I hastily stole a cookie off the plate that my mother had finished divvying them up on and shoved it in my mouth so I wouldn't have to answer.
Then I groaned at the taste of chocolatey goodness that burst like a flavorful explosion in my mouth. Oh, these are good today, Dad.
My father had perfected his cookie recipes years ago for my mother to satisfy her sweet tooth, which had then turned into the McKenzie girl's sweet tooth. Nowadays, since his girls no longer lived with him, he didn't make them as much, which was one of the downsides of moving out.
An upside, though, was that I was able to go out on a date or bring a man to my house without worrying that the men of Free were going to take him to the back room and give him their own special brand of interrogation. The kind where waterboarding wasn't off the table. My father grunted.
So, who is the man that they're talking about?
I sighed and licked my lips, taking a sip of my milk before I turned and rested my ass against the counter so I could see him better. I met him today.
He asked me out on a date. I said no. That's all I know about him, I answered honestly.
Huh, Dad said.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?